të kupturit e tekstit të dëgjuar. Ky është testi i të kupturit e tekstit të dëgjuar nga gjuha e huaj. Përbëhet nga dy detyra. Çdo incizim do ta dëgjoni dy herë. Do të keni kohë të mjaftueshme që t'i lexoni pyetjet para se ta dëgjoni tekstin dhe t'i kontrolloni përgjigjet tuaja. Derisa të dëgjoni, mund t'i shkruani përgjigjet tuaja në librezën e testit. Pas dëgjimit, do të keni kohë të mjaftueshme që t'i kontrolloni përgjigjet tuaja. Detyra e parë. Lexoni pyetjet.
And today, it's the turn of the best-selling crime writer Sophie Hannah to tell us all about the book she'd never lend.
I'm Sophie Hannah, and the book that I would never lend is called House Rules by Rachel Sontag. The book is a memoir, and in it, Rachel Sontag describes the experience of growing up from sort of young childhood to slightly older childhood and then into her teenage years, and basically realising gradually that her family was not just a normal family like all the other families she knew, but that in fact her dad was a very psychologically damaged and, crazy really, control freak and quite scary, and that, you know, she realised that her mum was sort of in a way as scared of him as she was, and she has a little sister as well called Jenny. And at first, it's interesting because she describes how the family relationships shift and change. So at first, she feels as if she and her mum and her sister are all in the same relationship. You know, they are the rest of the family and they're all sort of trying to keep the dad happy, but also loving him and thinking he's basically fundamentally a good dad. And then as she gets older, Rachel starts to think, he's not such a good dad after all. He actually is doing me immense harm. So I'm going to read a little bit from chapter one. It was before I turned 10. Jenny was 7. We slept in the same bed. We bathed together. Dad referred to us as the children. And because we were the children, because there was nothing distinguishing us from each other, we fought on the same team. When I was 11 and Jenny was 8, we attempted to smuggle our Barbie dolls across the Mexican border to vacation with us in Cancun, where they could sunbathe and swim in the bathtub. The dolls got as far as O'Hare. In the baggage check line, Dad caught sight of the circular cookie tin under Jenny's arm, his face soured. "Ellen, what's in the tin?" he said. "What's in the tin, Ellen?" "Stuff," Mum said. "What kind of stuff?" he said. Jenny and I knew when it was going to get bad. We could always feel it. Dad was about to launch an attack that Mum could not deflect, and we waited, anxious and excited, that it was Mum he was mad at and not us.
Dëgjoni përsëri.
And today, it's the turn of the best-selling crime writer Sophie Hannah to tell us all about the book she'd never lend.
I'm Sophie Hannah, and the book that I would never lend is called House Rules by Rachel Sontag. The book is a memoir, and in it, Rachel Sontag describes the experience of growing up from sort of young childhood to slightly older childhood and then into her teenage years, and basically realising gradually that her family was not just a normal family like all the other families she knew, but that in fact her dad was a very psychologically damaged and, crazy really, control freak and quite scary, and that, you know, she realised that her mum was sort of in a way as scared of him as she was, and she has a little sister as well called Jenny. And at first, it's interesting because she describes how the family relationships shift and change. So at first, she feels as if she and her mum and her sister are all in the same relationship. You know, they are the rest of the family and they're all sort of trying to keep the dad happy, but also loving him and thinking he's basically fundamentally a good dad. And then as she gets older, Rachel starts to think, he's not such a good dad after all. He actually is doing me immense harm. So I'm going to read a little bit from chapter one. It was before I turned 10. Jenny was 7. We slept in the same bed. We bathed together. Dad referred to us as the children. And because we were the children, because there was nothing distinguishing us from each other, we fought on the same team. When I was 11 and Jenny was 8, we attempted to smuggle our Barbie dolls across the Mexican border to vacation with us in Cancun, where they could sunbathe and swim in the bathtub. The dolls got as far as O'Hare. In the baggage check line, Dad caught sight of the circular cookie tin under Jenny's arm. His face soured. "Ellen, what's in the tin?" he said. "What's in the tin, Ellen?" "Stuff," Mum said. "What kind of stuff?" he said. Jenny and I knew when it was going to get bad. We could always feel it. Dad was about to launch an attack that Mum could not deflect, and we waited, anxious and excited, that it was Mum he was mad at and not us.
I lutem që ti kontrolloni përgjigjet tuaja. Ky është fundi I detyrës së parë. Detyra e dytë. Lexoni pyetjet.
I'm a quarter of an hour early when I swipe my way inside the library where I work. I head down the stone steps, following the grooves that thousands upon thousands of pairs of feet have made over the building's 150-year history. I use my security pass again to enter the basement and leave my bag and coat in the staff room before I return upstairs to the main floor. I bid a cheery good morning to my colleagues. I count 12 of us on shift today, all of us of different ages. As I watch them interact with one another, it strikes me that people have an antiquated perception of librarians. They assume female employees are quiet, unassuming, bookish folk, that our wardrobes consist of a dull collection of cardigans and comfortable shoes, that we wear our hair tied back in tight buns, and we spend our lives sitting behind desks, shushing or fining people for late returns. Meanwhile, our male colleagues are equally dull, humourless virgins with beards, corduroy jackets and checked shirts, who still live at home with their mothers. Nothing could be further from the truth. On the library floor, yes, we remain relatively softly spoken and professional, and we do love our books. But that doesn't mean we live and breathe them. We have lives away from the written word. One by one, we discuss what we did over the weekend. Danielle shows us blue and yellow bruising across the skin above her ribcage, where she landed awkwardly zip-wiring in Wicksteed Park. Then Steve arrives, with 5 minutes to spare, and proudly displays cling film wrapped around his forearm. He's been tattooed again, although it's hard to make out the design hiding beneath the wrap and Vaseline. Regardless, I tell him it looks nice. Joanna plays in a rock band, while Pete is now in his 50s, but training to be a yogi.
The Juniper City.
I'm a quarter of an hour early when I swipe my way inside the library where I work. I head down the stone steps, following the grooves that thousands upon thousands of pairs of feet have made over the building's 150-year history. I use my security pass again to enter the basement and leave my bag and coat in the staff room before I return upstairs to the main floor. I bid a cheery good morning to my colleagues. I count 12 of us on shift today, all of us of different ages. As I watch them interact with one another, it strikes me that people have an antiquated perception of librarians. They assume female employees are quiet, unassuming, bookish folk, that our wardrobes consist of a dull collection of cardigans and comfortable shoes, that we wear our hair tied back in tight buns, and we spend our lives sitting behind desks, shushing or fining people for late returns. Meanwhile, our male colleagues are equally dull, humourless virgins with beards, corduroy jackets and checked shirts, who still live at home with their mothers. Nothing could be further from the truth. On the library floor, yes, we remain relatively softly spoken and professional, and we do love our books. But that doesn't mean we live and breathe them. We have lives away from the written word. One by one, we discuss what we did over the weekend. Danielle shows us blue and yellow bruising across the skin above her ribcage, where she landed awkwardly zip-wiring in Wicksteed Park. Then Steve arrives, with 5 minutes to spare, and proudly displays cling film wrapped around his forearm. He's been tattooed again, although it's hard to make out the design hiding beneath the wrap and Vaseline. Regardless, I tell him it looks nice. Joanna plays in a rock band, while Pete is now in his 50s, but training to be a yogi.
Ju lutem që ti kontrolloni përgjigjet tuaja. Ky është fundi detyrës së dytë. Ju lutem kaloni përgjigjet tuaja në fletën e përgjigjeve. Ky është fundi i testit të kuptuarit e tekstit të dëgjuar.